The following program is sponsored by Kit Fox Communications. From the entertainment capital of the world, this is Carolyn Fox's Hollywood Spotlight.
Good evening. This is Carolyn Fox, the velvet-voiced vixen, welcoming you to another edition of Carolyn Fox's Hollywood Spotlight. I'm going to open with some classic rock and roll, and I want to direct your attention to the guitar playing, because we're going to talk to one of these blazing hot guys in just a few minutes. This is Aerosmith with Train Kept a Rollin'.
You know, about 10 years ago, we was doing nothing but blues. Nothing but blues. Blues had a baby, and we called it rock and roll. We'll be right back.
Tonight, Carolyn Fox's Hollywood Spotlight is delighted to welcome legendary rock guitarist and songwriter Dick Wagner to the show. Dick has been featured on more than 200 renowned albums, garnering more than 35 platinum and gold records. The bands Dick has played with reads like a who's who of rock and roll, including Lou Reed, Kiss, Aerosmith, Peter Gabriel, Roy Orbison, Jerry Lee Lewis, but he's perhaps best known for his collaboration with Alice Cooper. In fact, he's just published a new memoir called Not Only Women Bleed. Thank you so much for joining me, Dick.
Thank you, Carolyn.
Tell me, why did you decide to write a memoir?
Well, you know, I used to write short stories a long time ago, and I started writing short stories again, and I started writing some from the point of view of my life. Suddenly, I'm writing a book. I hadn't really planned on writing a book. It was not something that I made a decision to do. I just started writing these things down, you know, until I got to around 150 pages, and then I thought, well, this is a book. This is good. And then my manager said to me that it's not a book. 150 pages will never do. You've got to write more. So I kept getting pressure from my management to keep writing. Go on, here's some ideas. It came out around 300 pages, so I had a book. Finally.
Wow.
It took me like 3 years to actually do the book, to write it all.
I want to talk to you a little bit about the European tour you did with Lou Reed, because that seems to be where you started your collaboration with Steve Hunter.
Yes, it was, absolutely. We had, we had jammed on stage together in a club in Florida maybe a year before we actually got together with Lou Reed. And we had met before in Detroit. Bob Ezrin was producing, and he hired Steve Hunter and I both to work on Lou Reed's Berlin album, which was like a monumental record.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Lou actually asked us to play in a band, backing him on a tour. So after a couple of weeks of rehearsal up at in Massachusetts, we left for Europe. We toured Europe into great acclaim, and then came back to the States and played a few dates in the States, ending up at the Brooklyn Academy of Music.
Wow.
Where we recorded the show live. And it just turned out to be just such a great, I mean, it's such a great band that the recording was just, it had no editing in it, had no overdubs. It's just the way the band sounded that night.
Wow.
And it's a classic album. It's just amazing.
Oh, my God.
So that was really the beginning with me and Steve Hunter.
Gibson.com on their website has a listing of the top 50 guitar solos of all time. And you and Hunter are mentioned twice.
Yes, we are. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we were number 43 and number 25.
Wow. Wow.
You know, you got to have room there at the top for Jimi Hendrix and Jimmy Page and all that. But we were definitely in there twice, so I think that's quite a feat, really.
You and Hunter have been called six-string gunslingers.
Well, yeah, they sort of called us that, right. We were the hot duo.
You bet.
You know, after Greg Allman and Eric Clapton, there came us. We got on the scene and started developing their reputation based on the Aerosmiths, and then Alice Cooper right after that. And
you wrote songs with Alice Cooper as well.
Well, I did. I went to them. Shep Gordon is his manager. I went to him to, I had written about 28 songs, and I wanted him to hear them, and maybe I would be doing a solo career. And Shep heard the music, and he said, Alice is going to go solo himself, and he's going to leave the band, and we'd like you to be his co-writer and, you know, guitar player. And it was an offer I could not refuse. So, at that time, they were the number one band in the world, so I got right in on the top floor, you know, the penthouse, and I started writing with Alice and playing guitar, kind of being the band leader, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I took care of everything, all the business for the band itself, and Alice had his own management. And I was also his lead guitar player and co-songwriter. We wrote a few hits.
You wrote quite a few hits.
Quite a few, actually, yeah. It was a fortunate thing for me. So I put aside my idea of a solo career and actually took some of those songs that I had already written. And when Alice heard them, he wanted them. He wanted us to, you know, he would work on the lyrics and make it more like Alice Cooper. And I already had the music, so it just kind of fit together like right away.
Fantastic. That's how you collaborated on Only Women Bleed, right?
That's correct. Yeah, I wrote the music for Only Women Bleed back in 1968. I was with a band called Frost. We're from Detroit. Very popular band. And when he heard that song, but I had this music, okay, let me say that. And I had lyrics also, but Alice did not like the lyrics, and neither did I. So he had an idea. He told me that he had a title for a song that he wanted to work on called Only Women Bleed. We went in the house, sat down, and worked on this song with the music I had already written in 68. This was 1975. So all of a sudden we had Only Women Bleed. It was done in about 25 minutes.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
And we just took off and went down to Mickey Dolenz, you know, for the Monkees. Mickey Dolenz's house, and he was friends with Alice. And he had a studio in his basement, so we made our first demo of Only Women Bleed at Mickey Dolenz's place and sent the song off to Ezra, who flipped out on the song. And so that was one of the songs for the Welcome to My Nightmare album.
A monster.
The collaboration just worked immediately, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and it's been covered by so many singers. Lita Ford, Tina Turner, Etta James, Tori Amos, Guns N' Roses, Nina
Carmen
Simone.
Carmen McRae, believe it or not.
Wow.
Back there.
Wow. And also,
it's been covered by so many people.
And also Wednesday,
mm-hmm.
whose recording you produced.
I did indeed. And I think it's a great album. It never really happened the way I had hoped it would.
Yeah.
Because it really is a very good album.
Oh, it's a brilliant
Wednesday
album.
Wednesday kind of bowed out for some reason. She went back to New England, and I haven't really talked to her much, but it is a great version of Only Women Bleed.
And there's an amazing video that you made of it, too.
Did you see that video? Isn't that great?
Very
powerful. I didn't
powerful.
Do it, but my partner in business, Alex Sorrell, he actually put that whole video together. I mean, it is a beautiful video.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and you added some lyrics for Wednesday's version.
I wrote a new verse. You know, I didn't ask Alice. I just went ahead and did it because I wanted... I mean, the purpose of the song really is a song about domestic violence.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I did was I just wrote a verse on the end that was more direct to the women of the world, you know. And she sang it beautifully. And it's a great version of this song, and I recommend everyone listen to it.
Well, we're going to hear it in just a minute. I'm going to play it on the air. But before we...
Oh, fantastic.
But before I do...
Okay.
Please tell listeners where they can get your new memoir, Not Only Women Bleed.
All right. The book can be purchased online at notonlywomenbleed.com. Simple as that. Just go to that site, and you can buy it right there.
Beautiful.
And it will be shipped to you immediately.
Well, you're a publisher, you're an author, but you're still performing and doing seminars and clinics.
I am. I just got back off the road. I was 6 weeks in the Midwest playing dates. I'm going back out again in October and November and just pursuing the whole, you know, live music thing.
Fantastic. And I want to thank you again for being my guest on the show.
Carolyn, thank you very much. I always love talking to you. It's always fun.
It's my pleasure. So let's hear that track. This is the version of Only Women Bleed that Dick Wagner produced. You'll hear him playing guitar on it as well. This is Wednesday with Only Women Bleed.
Man's got his woman to take his seed. He's got the power, she's got the need. She spends her life through pleasing up her man. She feeds feeds him dinner or anything she can. She cries alone at night too often. He smokes and drinks and don't come home at all. Only women bleed. Only women bleed. Only women bleed. Only women bleed.
Carrie. Carolyn Fox here to tell you about a great full-service mechanic and body shop in the San Fernando Valley. Steve's T&G Motors. My family and I have trusted our cars to Steve's T&G Motors for nearly 15 years. This one-stop auto repair shop does terrific body work, including a bumper repair special for $375, complete with color matching. Call Steve's T&G Motors at 818-347-2054. That's 818-347-2054 for Steve's T&G Motors.
You're listening to Carolyn Fox's Hollywood Spotlight. Play fresh new music and artist interviews. Carolyn Fox's Hollywood Spotlight is heard at midnight Friday in Los Angeles at 1580 AM and at 6 p.m. local every Saturday on the KHZTV.com network and always playing at CFoxRocks.com. For videos, after-hours interviews, and features we can't play on the air, check out Carolyn's blog at CarolynFoxRocks.com. Carolyn Fox's Hollywood Spotlight brings you what's hot in Hollywood on the air and at CFoxRocks.com.
This is Carolyn Fox, and to find out what's coming up next, join me on my blog at CarolynFoxRocks.com. Eileen Carey is going to be a guest on the show in the upcoming weeks. But right now, we have her with a brand new track, a Pretenders cover called Don't Get Me Wrong.
Don't get me wrong. I'm looking kind of dazzled.
Tonight, my guest on Carolyn Fox's Hollywood Spotlight is Carrie Edelson, an expert in marketing research, as well as the owner of Research Narrative. Now, you may be familiar that Carolyn Fox's Hollywood Spotlight from time to time will take you behind the scenes in the entertainment industry. Carrie has extensive experience with market research and consulting. She's worked with such companies as ABC, Disney, Warner Brothers, Discovery, NPR, NBC Olympics. So Carrie is the perfect person to help us take a look at the future of traditional and digital media. Thanks so much for joining us, Carrie.
Thank you. What an introduction. It's very flattering.
Everyone seems to expect that digital media will at some point overtake traditional media, that everything, radio and television, is all going to be on your computer. Why would you go anywhere else? Do you believe that's going to happen?
I don't think of it quite in the way of overtaking. The word I use is intersecting. To me, if you look at everything that's going on in the media landscape, those worlds are colliding and collaborating more than they are competing. And that's not to say that there's not both. There's an element of competition and cannibalization that's taking place as well. But you know, one of the clients I'm working with now, they've taken the concept of digital interactivity and they've integrated it into TV sets through software. So now you can interact with your TV screen through your remote control. And they've taken that idea from the digital space and put it on the TV instead of having the two things fight one another. I'm seeing a lot more of that kind of thing happening where the worlds are beginning to intersect and you're starting to see that the sum of the parts is greater than each of the individual parts. So I don't think that it necessarily is overtaking. And in fact, I don't see it going that direction. There's an aspect to the digital world versus the traditional world in terms of media that is very much rooted in financial stability.
Yes, and we want to talk about the financial end of it. I know that's, monetizing is always important.
Yeah, it's still an industry, even though for many people it's also passion.
Yes.
And that's really what drives some of these decisions to collaborate between the two. But I think traditional media companies have been very quick to adopt digital traditions. I've been seeing that, you mentioned NBC Olympics. They were asking those questions 8 to 10 years ago. That's not a new thing for them. And they're very much a traditional organization, but they've been thinking about when do we integrate streaming video, to what degree, how do we keep people engaged on multiple platforms throughout the Olympics, how do the differences in time zone impact our decision to do that sort of thing? And that changes every 2 years, and so that decision changes every 2 years. And so traditional companies are really on top of that sort of thing. They've been thinking about this for about a decade now, if not longer. And I think what's starting to happen is digital exclusive companies are starting to really recognize the degree to which it's not new to the traditional media world. I think there was this belief even 3 to 4 years ago that coming out of Silicon Valley, that the digital landscape was way ahead of what traditional media people were doing. And in fact, it's not the case at all. In many cases, traditional media companies were looking at digital opportunities and deciding against them because they couldn't find any way to make it a return on investment. At the same time, they knew they had to jump on that bandwagon at some point because that's the way of the future. Those things are going to intersect, as I mentioned. And so they were thinking about when's the right time, what's the right way to do that, and how do we make the most of our legacy platform in the interim. And in many cases, you see a lot of these properties becoming multi-platform. You know, I had mentioned to you when we first met, TMZ is a perfect example of that. It actually started out digital, but now it's on three different platforms. It's mobile, it's internet, and it's also on TV. And now I hear they're producing a radio show. I'm not sure if that's launched or not. But they're trying to be multi-platform because that's really the way of the future.
Where do you think we stand now in terms of traditional media? You're talking about the financial end of things, traditional media versus digital media.
The reality today is that traditional media is still more profitable. It's hard to say when that's going to start to change and when that inflection point is going to take place. Everybody's been saying every year that it's going to be this year, and I've been hearing that for 8 years. So it's hard to really predict that sort of thing. I think the person who does that will be a multi-billionaire. At the same time, I'm starting to see some real strategy behind digital. That's the one thing that's changed, is it's not just technology driven. Now it's really strategically driven. So when you think of online video, there are organizations that are really putting some thought into how do you monetize online video? What's the difference in that strategy for short form video, the 2 or 3 minute clip or the 30 second clip, versus long form programming like what Hulu might do?
Mm-hmm.
How does that business model differ? Because Hulu and YouTube ultimately won't have the exact same business model. Won't, even if they have an advertising-driven business model, the way they execute advertising will be different. And it already is different.
Part of what you do in your business is not just help people obtain the numbers or marshal the numbers, you help them use the numbers. Can you tell us a little about that?
Yeah, and that really varies dramatically based on what the topic is. So some of the work I do is, you know, test screening TV shows and really digging into character development and storylines and stuff that's very creative in nature. And on the other end of the spectrum is what we've been talking about, which is really like business strategy and numbers-driven information and financial strategy and that kind of thing. And so it really runs the gamut. The majority of market research takes place somewhere, I would say, halfway between that. So, you know, there's this huge spectrum, but there's a lot that's, we have a decision to make in the next 3 to 6 months, and we probably have a good instinct on what the right decision is, but there's maybe 2 or 3 ways we could go with it, or we really want to validate it. A lot of times, market research is done as a decision maker, in a sense. It's a way of resolving dispute or disagreement within an organization and among very smart people who have differing points of views. And it's a way of getting a sense of what the consumer or the audience wants without it being an educated guessing game. And it's still a little bit of both. A lot of times research doesn't give you a cut and dry answer because oftentimes there are ties or there isn't a cut and dry answer. You know, it's not as simple as it may seem. And I would never simplify it to such. But you know, a lot of times you get really, really intelligent people at the table with very different ideas, and it's a way of putting those ideas out to the public and really seeing what resonates, what gets people excited. Yeah. So, and that can be anything from we're considering 5 different dramas to take the series, and we can only put 2 on air, and which 2 are going to really resonate, which 2 take us in the direction that our network is heading, bring in the audience that we're trying to reach, all the way to the other end of the spectrum of we're launching a new, you know, media technology, and we're trying to figure out how to monetize it and what's the best strategy for that.
We are going to talk about politics, you and I.
Okay, I'm ready.
All right, but not just yet. You've agreed to come back after hours.
That's right.
Okay, so that is our internet-only programming. So
multi-platform, just as I said.
Just as you said. We're soaking in it.
Exactly. I like it.
Go to cfoxrocks.com or carolynfoxrocks.com to catch Carrie's interview after hours when we get political. I want to thank you so much for being my guest.
Sure.
Carrie Edelstein is a media consultant, especially with regard to marketing. Her company is Research Narrative. If somebody wanted to contact you on a research project, some sort of a media-related project, how would they do that?
They would go to my website, which has all the contact info on there. It's researchnarrative.com.
Very good.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Carolyn Fox here to tell you about a great full-service mechanic and body shop in the San Fernando Valley, Steve's T&G Motors. My family and I have trusted our cars to Steve's T&G Motors for nearly 15 years. This one-stop auto repair shop does terrific body work, including a bumper repair special for $375, complete with color matching. Call Steve's T&G Motors at 818-347-2054. That's 818-347-2054 for Steve's T&G Motors.
You're listening to Carolyn Fox's Hollywood Spotlight. Play fresh new music and artist interviews. Carolyn Fox's Hollywood Spotlight is heard at midnight Friday in Los Angeles at 1580 AM and at 6 p.m. local every Saturday on the KHZTV.com network and always playing at cfoxrocks.com. For videos, after-hours interviews, and features we can't play on the air, check out Carolyn's blog at carolynfoxrocks.com. Carolyn Fox's Hollywood Spotlight brings you what's hot in Hollywood on the air and at cfoxrocks.com.
Carolyn Fox here, and you can see me and some of my guests at my blog at carolynfoxrocks.com. Jonathan Spottiswood of Spottiswood and His Enemies is going to be my guest next week. Track. Here he is with Beautiful Monday.
Oh, going to work now, so dutifully. Beautiful Monday, beautiful me. Beautiful airplane on a beautiful cloud. Beautiful children making a beautiful sound. Or going to school now, it's a jubilee. Beautiful Monday, beautiful me. Everybody look at me, take another look at me, I'm beautiful. be good to me. Do the things you should to me. I'm beautiful. The weekend is over. Yeah, we had a good time. The world's on our shoulders, and we're gonna be fine. Oh, hoping that one day we'll truly be free. Beautiful Monday. Everybody look at me, take another look at me, I'm beautiful. Everyone be good to me, do the things you should to me, I'm beautiful. And I only wanna make a difference, I do. Yes, we all gonna make a difference, it's true.
You can hear Carolyn Fox's Hollywood Spotlight every week at this time. And you can check out my YouTube channel at youtube.com/ Carolyn Fox's Hollywood. Here's a brand new track from Cece James, Cover Me With Love.
Happy, sad, fearful, and mad, guilty, ashamed.
Yeah.
you happen to be the Los Angeles area, in the past couple of weeks, you know heat. From his timeless CD, this is Sergio Mendez with Will.i.am of the Black Eyed Peas with That Heat.
One for the trouble.
One for the treble.
Two for the bass.
Two for the bass.
Three for the ladies.
Three for the ladies.
And four for the blaze.
Four for the blaze.
Yo, 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 it's that heat, that heat, that heat, that heat, it's that heat, yo. The heat coming thick down from Sao Paulo, baking New York, shaking up the Apollo. The rhyme I ignite, people bite and swallow, but the way they recite it, it's sounding real hollow. Hollow like empty 40-ounce bottles. Holla at your boy if you wanna date models. Brazilian beauties with booties that wobble. Boobies like tooties that fog up your goggles. Yeah, I keep it hot full throttle. Beats bang out to keep your head on bobble. Instrumentally, I'm rich like Lotto. Fundamentally, I just can't follow. I'll get sentimental with winners and my bros. Diving, ducking, dodging from high low. Point bullets that turn bodies into John Doe's. I stay positive and rock mics cause I go one for the trouble, two for the bass, three for the latest, and four for the blaze, slow down, baby. That heat, yo. So take off your clothes, get mellow. Relax your soul, get mellow. Unwind your spine, get mellow. Mellow, get mellow. Slow down, baby. It's that heat, that heat, that heat. It's that heat, that heat, that heat. It's that heat, that heat, that heat. It's that heat, yo. That heat coming in slow motion. Barbecue your body, keep your body straight roasted. Light skin honeys get the suntan lotion. Dark skin honeys in the sun with no commotion. You can catch me chilling by the ocean with Brazilian feminine sipping on potions. Girls looking like cinnamon toast, and I got a little chocolate for your cinnamon toast. I got the notion to get real close. That's a little self-promotion, don't mind if I boast. Baby, I could be your favorite host. Break you off with a single or a freaky double dose. Just don't catch no emotions. I'll bring heat from coast to coast. Beats and rhymes is my devotion. I'm turning MCs into ghosts when I talk about one for the trouble, and two for the bass, and three for the ladies, and four for the blaze. Slow down, baby. It's that heat, that heat, that heat. It's that heat, so take off your clothes, get mellow. Relax your soul, get mellow. Unwind your spine, get mellow. Mellow, get mellow. Slow down, baby. Yo, it's that heat, that heat, that heat. It's that heat, that heat, that heat. It's that heat, that heat, that heat. It's that heat, yo.
After the break, Charmaine Clamore will sing a very sexy song. The Quarter Valley Group's 40-acre equestrian facility is nestled in the hills of the Temecula wine country. We offer a facility that both you and your horse will enjoy, with complete horse care and boarding, miles of adjacent trails, two full-size arenas for training and warm-up, and a caring and knowledgeable staff. Barn and exterior stalls are available, and we offer multi-horse discounts. Horse owners with busy schedules can rest assured that their riding companions are receiving the best in equine care. The ranch is also available as a film location and for special events. For more information, call Dan Parks at 951 265-9674.
You're listening to Carolyn Fox's Hollywood Spotlight. Play fresh new music and artist interviews. Carolyn Fox's Hollywood Spotlight is heard at midnight Friday in Los Angeles at 1580 AM and at 6 p.m. local every Saturday on the KHZTV.com network and always playing at cfoxrocks.com. For videos, after-hours interviews, and features we can't play on the air, check out Carolyn's blog at carolynfoxrocks.com. Carolyn Fox's Hollywood Spotlight brings you what's hot in Hollywood on the air and at cfoxrocks.com.
This is Charmaine Clamour with a sultry version of Jeffrey Lee Tozer's tune, Sweet Spot.
Easy, sugar. Right there, don't stop what you do. Sure is not every time you hit that sweet spot. You're cupcakes, candy. Yes, I want what you got. Oh, baby, you hit that sweet spot. Don't break this clinch we're in. We just invented a private little treat. Come closer, baby, closer, baby, closer, baby, closer to me. Let's get numb. That's how it's gotta be. You got moves. Take your shot. Ooh, baby, you hit that sweet spot. A private little treat. Come closer, baby, closer, baby, closer, baby, closer to me. Let's get naughty. You first. That's how it's gotta be.
Things magic and ethereal, maybe something witchy. So if you have any favorite songs that fall into that category, send them to me at carolynfoxrocks.com or the website at cfoxrocks.com. Here's a track from Brian Lopez. This is Mucho Ease. Thanking you for joining us tonight on Carolyn Fox's Hollywood Spotlight and inviting you to come back next week where our special guest will be Jonathan Spottiswood of Spottiswood and His Enemies. We're playing our out tonight with a track from Paul Mark and the Vandorans from his epic CD, The Smartest Man in the Room. This is Wrist Rocket.